If you've ever wondered what your purpose in life is, Skip Heitzig reminds us that finding it isn't all that hard.
What special part is your part? How are you helping other people grow? And please don't say, well, I'm not gifted, because you are. If you're saved, you're gifted. If you're saved, you're qualified and equipped to serve.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
In a movie or a play, everyone has a role to play. If the actors play their roles well, the play is a success. However, if you have actors who suddenly decide they want a different role, or others who try and steal the scene for themselves, that movie or play won't be all that enjoyable to watch. Or maybe it will, but not in a good way. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig talks about the roles we all play in church. The difference is that we aren't acting in these roles. Rather, they should be a fundamental part of who we really are. And we'll explore those roles more in just a moment. But first, we just wanted to remind you that your financial gifts not only make this program possible in your city, but in cities all over the world. In fact, with your help, we'll be able to reach even more cities with the good news of the Bible in 2011. Take some time now to prayerfully consider your part in global evangelism as a monthly supporter of this ministry. Then, give us a call to find out more about becoming a global connector. Or learn more when you visit connectionradio.org. As we're about to find out, in order for the church or even individual Christians to grow, input is needed from a variety of people, all adding something different to our growth. Stay with us to find out more about your role in helping others grow.
And make the connection.
We'll continue with our study in Acts chapter 13 today. So if you'll open your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he gets today's study started.
Simeon was a black African. Now, you know why that's noteworthy is we're talking 2,000 years ago, way before all the stuff that has happened with the Civil War in our own country. And 2,000 years ago, there was no discrimination over color, no discrimination over race. In fact, a black African was one of the leaders exercising a prominent spiritual gift at the church in Antioch. The second name, it mentions Manaen, notice, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. The word "been brought up with" literally is he was the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch. So think about this. Here's two guys, Herod and Manaen, they grew up in the same home. But as they grew up, they made two different choices. One became the Herod who was the leader of Galilee at the time of Jesus Christ. This is the Herod that killed John the Baptist. And Manaen, who's a leader in the church. Talk about a study in contrast. These two boys grew up and one killed the forerunner of Jesus Christ and the other became a leader in the church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they both made different choices. That's why. Now, I have heard that there is in the Midwest a courthouse situated on a hill. And it's situated in such a way that when rain falls on the roof, depending on what side of the roof it goes on, goes in two different destinations. If rain falls on one side of the courthouse roof, it drains off into the Great Lakes and ends up in the Atlantic Ocean. Rain falling on the other side of the courthouse roof drains out into the Ohio River, the Mississippi River, and the Gulf of Mexico, way far apart. Just a breath of wind makes all the difference in the destiny of that water. Well, so it is with the choices that people make. Depending on what choice we make concerning Jesus Christ, we end up in two different places. Two different destinations, two different styles of life. Here's two brothers who made two choices, a study in contrast. So what we know so far about this church is they were saved people called out to be together. And while they were together, they were serving one another with their spiritual gifts, which is a natural part of the supernatural life that is within us. This is what ought to happen whenever saved people gather together for any length of time. After a while, they want to get involved with each other. They want to utilize their own spiritual capabilities to train up and raise up people around them in the church. They don't want to be spectators anymore. They want to be participants. They don't want to be just watchers anymore. They want to be workers. They're not content with being, well, let's call them pew potatoes. They want to be servants. They want to add to the life of somebody else. This isn't a Steinway piano, but it's a good one. But I visited a Steinway outlet one time that was attached to a factory. I discovered that a Steinway piano, one of the most beautiful instruments ever, the reason it's so beautiful and so harmonious is because of the work on the inside. 12,000 parts put together by 200 craftsmen over a several-month period of time. But 200 guys and gals and 12,000 parts later and several months of building and polishing makes an instrument that a great piano player can beautify a room or an occasion with. I see a church like that. We have thousands of different parts. We have hundreds of different leaders. And when they all come together and the work on the inside is everybody using their own part to glorify the Lord, it becomes like an instrument through which Jesus can play his music in a community, in a state, in a city. Now, the New Testament doesn't use the analogy of a piano. It typically uses the analogy of a human body. This is what Paul said, Ephesians 4, verse 16. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Here's the question. What special part is your part? How are you helping other people grow? And please don't say, well, I'm not gifted, because you are. If you're saved, you're gifted. If you're saved, you're qualified and equipped to serve. Charles Spurgeon said, there's not a spider hanging on the king's wall, but it has its errand. There's not a nettle that grows in the corner of the churchyard, but it has its purpose. And I will never have it that God created any Christian to be a blank, to be a nothing. He made you for an end. Find out what that end is. Find out what your niche is and fill it. And here's the first step if you don't know what to do. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Roughly translated, you say, God, here I am. Here's my body, my hands, my eyes, my feet. I'm yours. I want to be your instrument. Show me how I can plug in and make a difference in somebody else's life. That's where you go from saved to serving. That's the second benchmark. There's a third. It's when the saved who are serving become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They grow in their relationship with Him. Look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, presumably through one of these prophets, or maybe all of them together, He said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Does verse 2 strike you as a bit different in terms of wording? Notice what it says, as they ministered to the Lord. It does not say as they ministered for the Lord. It does not say as they were ministers of the Lord. No, they ministered to the Lord. Well, what does that mean? How do you minister to the Lord? The term ministered is a Greek word, liturgeo. We get the term liturgy from it, an order of service. Many churches are big on liturgy and a very structured order. The word comes from this word ministered, liturgeo. In the Old Testament, it referred to, if you were reading the Septuagint, it would use that term. It referred to priests in the tabernacle who were performing works of service for the tabernacle, like praise, like burning of incense, like prayer. In other words, they were performing works related to worship. Here in the New Testament, the word refers to prayer, adoration, worship. In fact, if you have a New International Version, I'm reading New King James. If you have an NIV or a New Living Translation, it says, "Now as they worshiped, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul." Have you ever heard this phrase? Have you ever heard a Christian say something like this? "Boy, that ministered to me today, what Fernando played." Or, "Boy, I was blessed by that." We've heard that, right? You've said that from time to time. Now, can you imagine God saying that? That's what this means. Can you imagine God, when we gather together, beholding our worship for God in heaven, and go, "Boy, was I blessed by that. I was ministered to by that." So often in the Psalms, "Bless the Lord at all times." In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, listen to this verse. "At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, to bless his name to this day." See, when people gather to minister to the Lord, there's no agenda. It's all about him. It's all for him. I find there are a great number of people that want to minister for the Lord, but there are few people who are willing to minister to the Lord. And more, God's dealing with me on this, telling me that the most important thing I do is not my preaching, teaching, exhorting, preparing, organizing. It's worshiping. It's ministering to the Lord. Remember Martha, who served, and Mary, who sat. You know the story. And there was Martha. She was ministering for the Lord, working hard, and her sister was sitting around listening to Jesus. And Martha complained, "Tell my sister to get up and help me." Remember what Jesus said? "Mary's chosen the good part. It's not going to be taken from her. One thing is needed, and she got it." I think we could use a bit more of that, don't you? A bit more waiting and worshiping before working. A bit more listening before laboring or lobbying. More Mary before Martha. That's the idea of ministering to the Lord. Now, typically in a church setting, people come up with an idea. Maybe a staff member comes up with an idea. We sit down, we formulate a plan, have a staff meeting, and implement it. Whatever happened to just ministering to the Lord? Waiting on the Lord, is this what you want? Is this your plan? A.W. Tozer once said, "Worship is the missing jewel of the evangelical church." And he said, "God wants worshipers before he wants workers. Indeed, the only acceptable workers are those who have learned the lost art of worship." You know, there was a church that Jesus wrote a little postcard to. They were busy, they were active, they were involved, they were serving. And he commended them for it, but then he said to the church of Ephesus, "There's just one thing I have against you. You've left your first love." Can you imagine getting to a point where you're so busy about the king's business that you actually forget the king himself? That was the church at Ephesus. So they were saved in Antioch. They were serving in Antioch, but they knew how to balance out the sensitivity here to the Holy Spirit. And while they were waiting, as they were ministering to the Lord in that setting, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Now I've got a plan. It involves Saul and Barnabas." And when I read that, this awakens a desire within me. If that's what it takes for God to speak while we'll wait on Him and minister to Him, we want more of that. I read about a church in England, in Fairford, England. They have actually a monument to a cat in their courtyard. They say this monument is because a cat used to come into their worship services frequently. During church, he would come in and hang out. And they had to admit that the cat was in more of the worship services than the people of the community. So they built a statue commemorating the worshiping cat. Hey, I'm not going to be outdone by any cat. If there's going to be worshipers, it ought to be us. Where we're working, certainly, but waiting, absolutely. Fourth and finally, the last benchmark is sending. Verse 3, "And having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them," that is Saul and Barnabas, "and sent them away. So," now get this, "so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." Well, say, so which is it? Did the church send them? It says they did. Or did the Holy Spirit send them? It says He did. Answer, both. Here's a church mature enough, sensitive enough to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and agree, we better export what we have in terms of the gospel and send people out. And let me just say that every church and every mission organization better make sure that when they send people out, that it's the Holy Spirit that's really sending them out. The Holy Spirit sent them on the way. So Paul leaves Antioch, goes on his first missionary journey, covers Galatia, covers Asia Minor, and then he'll come back. And the mark of a healthy group of Christians is when the saved become the sent. And if they're not the ones sent, they're involved in sending others who are sent. That's healthy. Converts become disciples. Disciples become apostles, which means sent out ones. Robert Speer wrote a manual called the Student Volunteer Movement Manual about missions. This is what he said at the introductory remarks. "If you want to follow Jesus, you must follow Him to the ends of the earth, for that is where He is going. We cannot think of God without thinking of Him as a missionary God." It's been well said before that Jesus called us to be fishers of men, but too much of our activity is being keepers of the aquarium. Well, which is it, fishers of men or keepers of the aquarium? Well, we got this aquarium. We better make sure that all the fish are... That's great, and we ought to do that. Certainly, we ought never to neglect the church life within the aquarium. But there's so many outside the aquarium that the people inside the aquarium need to be concerned about what's going on outside. And if you think about it, throughout the Bible, as I read it, God is very mission-minded. He's a missionary God. He tells people to go other places, like Abraham. As soon as He calls Abraham, the first thing He says is, "Leave, Abraham, leave Ur of the Chaldees. Get out from your family, get out from your environment, leave your home, and go to the place that I will show you." You know why? God said, "That in you all the nations of the world shall be blessed." God wants to bless other people, other nations, so He sends people to go out. And then, if you think about it further, Jesus Christ Himself was a missionary, sent from heaven to the earth on a mission from His Father. He said, "I have come to seek and to save those who are lost." David Livingstone was the great physician who went as a missionary to Africa from Scotland. And he used to always remark on this. He would often say, "God had but one son, and he was a missionary and a doctor." He was sent out. Finally, the Holy Spirit is mission-minded. The whole book of Acts, every chapter of it, we see the Holy Spirit arranging church life so that it goes from Jerusalem, the gospel, to Judea, through Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The question I leave with us today is, what about you? There's something I want you to toss around in your mind during this week. It's something Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "As my Father has sent me, so I send you." As my Father has sent me, Jesus, so I, Jesus, send you, those who believe in me. So the question I want you to wrestle with this week is, where am I sent? And the answer might be right where I'm at. It might be right in my neighborhood, right in my school, right with my family, in my job, but it might be elsewhere. But all of us are to be involved in that enterprise. You'll notice it in our bulletin. Every week, the vision statement of the church is printed in there. Upreach, inreach, and outreach. Just like Antioch. Once they were saved, they were involved in upreach. They ministered to the Lord. Once they were saved, they were involved in inreach. They were serving one another. Once they were saved, they were involved in outreach. They sent out Barnabas and Saul. All of those together. So, you can tell a redneck church if they use 55 Chevy hubcaps when they take up the offering. But you can tell a healthy church when they get serious enough to be growing and growing from saved to serving to sensitive to gone, being sent. And maybe, just maybe, out of this service this morning, somebody will be prompted to be sent. And you're struggling with that. A career, maybe, a decision. Can I just say what somebody once said very appropriately? If God called you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. That's the highest calling. If God has put that on your life. Whatever God has placed on your life is the highest calling for you. Did you know that 97% of the world has heard of Coca-Cola? I read that, I thought, that's staggering. Coke's only been around 100 years, and 97% of all the people who live on the earth have heard of Coca-Cola. You know that Jesus has been around for 2,000 years, and there's a lot of people that have not heard of him. So, we the saved who serve one another ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and in that he might be saying, go. Just maybe.
Of course, we also need to be willing to go when God tells us to go. But when you consider all that he has done for you, it really isn't too much to ask that you might go and share all of that with someone else. And it's with that thought that we're going to have to conclude our time for today. But if you'd like a copy of today's challenging message, I'll tell you how to order one, right after a few details about a new documentary you may find useful, especially as we draw ever closer to Halloween.
If you have children, you have challenges. That is not breaking news. And you know that it's only getting tougher to shepherd your flock. Families are under attack as media multiplies. Their messages are slick and sick.
A lot of it is very occultic, and a lot of it is extremely addictive.
Vampires leer from billboards and leap from movie screens and network shows. Games invite violent and occultic second lives. Boundaries are hard to draw, and reality is difficult to define when the web entangles teens with fantasy worlds and false identities. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Is your teen choosing dark entertainment? Are you seeing a disturbing trend in your family that you aren't sure how to deal with?
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming. Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
And for a copy of today's teaching, just visit us at connectionradio.org. Each copy is just $6, including shipping, and available on CD. You can also get a copy when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Of course, anything you share above that suggested donation would be a big blessing in helping us continue this daily ministry in your area. So give us a call today, 1-800-922-1888, or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
One of the most enduring hymns of all time, and one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. Join us next time to find out what it is. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.